Seems to be a little echoing to me. I don't know if it's the monitors or what it is. But anyway, it's good to see everybody this morning. And happy Resurrection Day. And thank you, Jesus. Amen. Because without it, there'd be no life for us. He's the only one that's not in the tomb anymore. Amen. I would have liked to bring y'all a good Easter message. But how many knows? You bring whatever he tells you. And I believe if we get this morning and we do it, it will bring absolute resurrection to our lives. But the title this morning would be An Open Door for the True Gospel. Now, let's go over there and read that again, Revelation chapter 3. This will actually be about the fourth time that I've read this here. God gave me this, I believe it was the end of last year, for this church. And I see more into it now than what I ever have before. But we're going to start reading in verse 7. And this is going to be the Amplified Version. If you don't have it, Beth will put it on the screen for you. Let's pray before we get started. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this service this morning, God, for assembling us and calling us together, Lord, in your name. You said wherever two or three are called together in your name, Lord, you'll be there in the midst. Father, I just ask you to help us, Lord, enlighten the eyes of our understanding, Holy Spirit. Help us to see what we need to see and hear what we need to hear in the name of Jesus, that we would be doers of your word, God. And Holy Spirit, I trust and depend on you this morning that the word of God that I believe that you've given me to minister this morning, you will demonstrate it in our hearts and in our minds. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 7. It says, and to the angel, the messenger. I mean, he's not talking about a real angel. He's talking about the messenger. He says, of the assembly, which says church, right? That just that alone combats that I am the church as an individual, right? So there's a lot, I believe with all of my heart that the church, a lot of the church has been in a place of what the Bible talks about, apostasy church, the great falling away. But the Bible says it's because the love of many have grown cold, right? Let's go on with this here before I get ahead of myself. He says, of the assembly, the church in Philadelphia, right? These are the words of the Holy One, the true One, he who has the key of David, who opens and no one shall shut, who shuts and no one shall open. Now, what's he talking about here? He's talking about a door, right? And we'll go on and we'll read specifically, he'll say a door in a minute. Just like that door over there, that door's shut. You can't open that door with a key. The only way you can open that door is, what is it, impact? Because up there at the top, it's got the screws in it that I think it's called an impact, that only that can open. So how many knows, unless you've got that, that door's not coming open. But he goes on and he says here, he's the one that opens the doors and he's the one that shuts the doors. It says, he who has the key of David, who opens and no one shall shut, who shuts and no one shall open. He says, I know your record of works. Now listen, he's talking to us. He says, I know your record of works and what you are doing. He says, see, I have set before you, Faithway Christian Center, a door wide open which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and guarded my message and have not renounced or denied my name. He says, take note, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie, behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet and learn and acknowledge that I have loved you because you have guarded and kept my word of patient endurance, have held fast the lesson of my patience with the expectant endurance that I give you. I also will keep you safe from the hour of trial, testing, which is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell upon the earth. I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, so that no one may rob you and deprive you of your crown. He who overcomes is victorious. I will make him a pillar in the sanctuary of my God. He shall never be put out of it or go out of it. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which descends from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who can hear, let him listen to and heed what the Spirit says to the assemblies, the churches. Now go back up there to verse 7. It says, who shuts and no man shall open. He says, I know your record of works and what you are doing. See, I have set before you a door wide open, which no one is able to shut. Now, what does that mean? It means just like this door over here right now, it's closed. But Scotty or somebody, you got an impact or whatever, you can come over here and you can open that door. And what that means is anybody that chooses can walk out that door and they can walk in that door. What he's talking about here is he's given us a wide open door to preach the gospel. Because, see, without it, no one can be saved. Right? So he says he's given us a wide open door. What that means is he's given us an opportunity. We have prayed, we have fasted, we have sought the Lord, we have done everything in this house, just like some had a big to-do about the eating and the drinking going on in here. Why, I don't know. Y'all too quiet. Loosen up. It's okay. God is going to help us. I honestly believe that the move of God that Rondé talked about is here. And I'm going to tell you what it starts with. It starts with repentance. See, the true gospel has repentance preached in it. It's not for a long time, I believe, that the gospel has been watered down, has become where Jesus is my side chick to make my life better. That's not the gospel. The gospel, the true gospel, is you are a sinner and you are on your way to hell if you do not repent. And the good news is you can accept Jesus Christ and He's made a way out of all of that. Not just to be my side chick on Sunday that I can maybe remember to go to church. Ain't nobody Samantha ever had to remind me to tell my husband that I loved him. I've been married over 40 years and ain't nobody ever reminded me to tell him that I love him. Ain't nobody ever had to remind me, Sandy, that I'm married and I need to go home every day. See, if that's you, listen, there's people listening to me all over the world. There's some that they can't come here because they're in other countries, other states, but there's some that they listen because they set themselves at home. Some that say, well, I've been hurt at church and I'm not going back. Well, you're not doing the Word. I know what it is to be hurt. I know what it is to be offended. But if I'm going to be a doer of the follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, then I'm going to have to fast and pray if necessary and repent of my evil ways and forgive and move on. Because we all can have a bag of excuses why we don't obey the Word of God. And the Spirit of God... Did y'all see that spit on my hole? Why did not Scotty this morning let me wipe off here? Stop laughing, Richard. Oh, man. We all could have a bag of excuses that we pull out any time we don't want to obey the Word of God or the Spirit of God. Right? But he says here, I have set before you, Faithway Christian Center, an open door. What that means is an opportunities. That giveaway is a major opportunity. I told the Lord this morning, I said, God, I'm so sorry. I am dumb as dirt until you show me. I can't see one thing. You can't see one thing. You can't see the nose on your face unless He reveals it to you. Gosh, y'all way too quiet. Everybody in here should have said, amen. Because let me tell you something. If there was a veil over this glass of water, it doesn't mean the water's not there. It's there. But you can't see it. But the job of the Holy Spirit is as we seek the Lord, He removes the veil so you see what was behind the veil the whole time. God has given us great opportunities with that giveaway. Down here of these clothes, we have people that comes to them clothes, they don't come to the food. We have people come to the food and to the clothes down there. And it is an open door for every one of us to preach the gospel to these people. And I'm not talking about this, are you saved? And yeah, I'm saved, but we see absolutely no fruit from your life. Jesus will help you with this, and Jesus will... He didn't come to help us. He came to bring a sword, right? He said, I didn't come to bring peace on the earth. He said, I came to bring division. He said, if you are not for me, you are against me. And the people that are not been born again, and if you've been born, they are not your brethren. Yes, every one of us was created by God in His image and His likeness. In Adam. The Bible says that Adam was the first Adam, but Jesus Christ was the last Adam. The first Adam bore the image of God, but he lost it. Therefore, every one of us in him, in his seed, lost it. And we cannot bear the image of Christ until we are born again. Jesus said, my mothers and my brothers are those that do the will of my Father. If you're not born again, you cannot do the will of the Father. I don't care how many good works you do, because good works will get you absolutely nothing according to Scripture. And bad works ain't going to keep me out, and good works can't get me in, but only being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, we have to quit using this little milk toasty gospel. Because it's not the truth. And what it has led to is people, their lives are not changed because they're not truly repenting of sin and turning to him with their life. Because the gospel isn't that I exchange my life for his life. Everything good in me, everything bad in me, my life now becomes his. The Bible says when I get born again, I have been bought with a great price. And my life, Sandy, is now not my own. So therefore, Jesus is not my side chick. What do I mean by that for older people? Means I'm married to the world, but Jesus is my lover on the side. I'm not married to him. So I go and visit him whenever I choose to. He didn't come for that. He came for me to die so that I may live. That's what resurrection is all about. And you cannot have a resurrection without a death. That's what baptism is, right? It is an outward show of this person died. We're buried, right? According to Romans chapter 6. But then yet we are raised when we get born again to new life, the Bible says. Not that same old person. Glory to God. So he's given us a wide open door to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the true gospel. Let me tell you something. Let me go on and read this. I'm still about to get ahead of myself here. So we have doors of opportunity. We got to walk through those doors. We got to recognize those doors. When you're on your job, when we're doing the giveaway, when we're in this church, right? I believe the Holy Spirit to demonstrate. He said he would work with me whatever word that I preach that is of the Lord. Now, in the will of God, you can preach anything. Means absolutely nothing. But whatever he said the Holy Ghost would demonstrate that word. I am believing that the Holy Ghost, when I get through, will prick our hearts for real to the core of our being. Because see, if my life is not changed, I have not repented. Because the word repentance means to change my heart and my mind to line it up with the will of God, and then you're going to see fruit out of my life. Sure, my hair's going to be the same color, and I may still have a few things of the old man that's still there because my mind's got to be renewed and all that, but my heart, Sandy's different. That now when I see him, where before, my brother told me one time, he said, my conscience doesn't bother me. And I mean, he could just do whatever. And I mean, it don't bother him at all. You know, I'm me. Now I'm saved. And I mean, you throw a little bubble gum wrapper out the window. And it's like, ah, God, that just stabbed me. That's the difference. To where now it's not that you can't sin. It's you don't want to sin. And if you do sin, you are pricked to your core to change. And sometimes it may feel like you can't seem to do it. But how many knows that's where we seek him? That's where he comes in. The Bible says crucify or mortify the deeds of the flesh by the Spirit. See, I don't not run around on my husband and have side men or whatever because I love him. That is the only reason, Johnny. Because I love him. See, when you really love Jesus, you don't want nothing of nobody else. But he says here that he's given us a door. He said, wide open. We have an open heaven. That we have prayed and we have fasted and we have sought the Lord and we have believed the word that the Lord has said, right? See, I remember something that Ron Day said. He said, they're coming from the north, the south, the east, the west. He said, and they're going to be like little tulips. Tulips are tender, Sandy. They come up in early spring. He said, and they're going to have a heart for God and not for this world. You know why they're going to have a heart for God? Because they have true heartfelt, unadulterated repentance. The Bible says, he that has been forgiven much, he loveth much. Y'all remember Mary Magdalene? The Bible says Jesus cast seven devils out of her. She was the first one at that tomb. She was the first one to take the message to the disciples. And she was the only one that he cast seven devils out of that I can find of the disciples. Because therefore she loved him so much. Right? And when we truly repent, he is the lover of our souls. He is our everything. We change our entire life, our work schedule, our family time, our entertainment, everything in our life. Now he is the center of it, first and foremost. And if that ain't the case, then I need to repent. You say, well, I can't do this. I can't go to church. I can't do this. You know, he can't be the center. I got to work. Yes, he knows you got to work. My sister, this is years and years ago, she had gotten saved and she worked at the nursing home, her and her husband both, and she was having to work every weekend. But now she's got saved, Johnny. And she wants to go to church. Let me tell you something. If you were out there and you are against the church, you're not saved. I'm just telling you. See, I don't care this morning about offending anybody. That has been the doggone problem of a lot of the church. We're too afraid we're going to offend somebody. Jesus didn't care who he offended. He didn't try to be offensive, but how many knows the gospel is offensive? So she starts praying. God, I want to go to church. God, I want to go to church. Whatever is his will, and you start seeking him for you to be obedient to his will, he will change, rearrange, give you a word, whatever it is, he's done got it worked out. But the seekers are the finders, and the knockers are the ones that gets the doors open, and the askers are the receivers. So she starts praying, God, I want to go to church. God, I want to go to church. Make a way for me to go to church. Lo and behold, Johnny, they fixed it where she worked every other weekend. And on the weekends she was off, she got to go to church and she went to church. But see, if my heart is not right, I don't even ask him about going to church. And that shows up a problem in my heart. And everything with God is always about the heart. So we have wide open door out here to preach the gospel. I've been praying and I've been telling the Lord, decreeing and declaring, God, this city shall be saved to your glory, God. We are going to colonize this city for the kingdom of God. You know what that means? We bring heaven to earth. No demon can stay here. We have been given this city and every other church body of Christ around here that'll take it. But Johnny, I'm praying, help us, Lord, that we would be like the apostles, that they would say about us, these from Faithway Christian Center have turned Blossful upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Could you imagine, Sandy, if everybody here was saved? Oh, my goodness. Doors unlocked. Heaven on earth. No sickness, no disease, no demons running, no drugs, no alcohol, freedom. And churches just full. Just having a Holy Ghost throwdown every time they get together. It is the will of God. So we've been given open doors opportunities. You got to know where those doors are and be willing to take the opportunity. I had bought some cookie dough from Aubrey and Aiden, I don't know, last year, maybe a year before. I don't know how long it's been. Anyway, I had some left. I thought, okay, God, I don't see anybody much, people-wise or whatever, most of the time. I thought, I'm going to create me an opportunity. Do you know you can do that? Yeah. I thought, all right, I got that cookie dough in there. I got neighbors over here that I don't think they're saved. I don't know if they've ever been saved, but I know they're not practicing and they don't go to church. Now, I got one over here that I know he used to be saved and go to church, but I didn't know for sure if he was still going to church or whatever. Well, anyway, so I thought, okay, God, I'm going to create me an opportunity, an open door. Instead of going, hey, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. but I am a Jesus witness. So I come bearing some cookies. So I'm in there, and I'm making these cookies. Aubrey comes in. She says, what are you doing, Grandma? I said, Aubrey, I said, I'm making some cookies. I said, because I'm going to take it to our neighbors and invite them to church. She said, oh, Grandma, please let it be these over here. So they just stand out there in the yard and argue at each other all the time. I said, Aubrey, they're not at home, baby. I think they went to the lake. I should have did it Friday instead of waiting until Saturday. I didn't know they was leaving, though. Oh, Grandma, please let it be. I said, Aubrey, it's not them now. I said, you want to go with me? Take your kids with you. They need to learn. They need to see. And they need to be involved. The Bible says, out of the mouth of babes, he has perfected praise. So she goes over there with me. And lo and behold, he's going to sunrise service this morning. Praise the Lord. Now I know that. I move right on when they get back. I ain't got no more cookie dough, though. I'll have to figure out something else. Do you see what I'm saying, though? Listen, the Jehovah Witnesses, they don't give a rip. They have to do a certain amount of this to get to another place in their kingdom. You understand what I'm saying? They have certain ones, you've got to go door to door. You got to do certain things. He said he would make us, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon, he would make us, we would be his witnesses in all the earth. Wherever you are, we're his witnesses. If you ain't got an open door, ask the Lord to help you create an open door for me, God. Give me a creative idea. Help me, Lord, so I can get my foot in to share the gospel. Right? Now, if the door is closed, move to another one. There's people all over the planet. So he's given us wide open opportunities. So that means is we cannot be timid. We cannot be cowardly, right? By faith, just like David, we look at that uncircumcised Philistine that is controlling these people, so to speak, that are lost. I should care, Johnny, if they're going to hell. If I really love them, then I should care. So then that creates where I don't have a problem sharing the gospel with them. Because I know where you're going. You don't know it yet, but I know where you're going if you don't change. And I care. And I am his ambassador. We are his ambassadors, right? That means we represent him in his kingdom. Therefore, we do whatever we can do. And listen, if they reject you, Jesus told the disciples, he said, shake the dust off of your feet, move to the next town. Why? We ain't got time. Maybe we can swing back around another time, right? But he's given us a wide open door. It's an opportunity to preach. The reason it is to preach the gospel. He goes on. He says, I have set before you a door wide open which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word. When he talks about their little power, use what you got. He has told us that from the very beginning of this church. Y'all have heard the story. This building, I mean, I would not pick this building to do anything. And y'all think y'all wouldn't pick it now. You should have seen it before even the Bible study started. The reason that's double doors back there is because it was a hole that was in the wall. Nothing was back here. No water meter. You think of no bathroom? No, there was no water meter. And you got $300. What you going to do with that? Follow God. But God told Scotty when he got to the stop sign, y'all have all heard the story. Because he said, okay, God, I'm going to look for a building. You tell me where it's at. Looks in his mirror and God says, use what you got. That's what we've been doing all this time and his word has never changed. He always says, use what you got. Whoever that you is. If you got a lot, then you use a lot. If you got a little, then you use the little. How many knows? And he will multiply. He will increase. He will bring. He will provide whatever it is that you need to do his will, whether it's as an individual or a body, he will provide it. If you will, by faith, use what you got. And he says here, we got a little strength. He didn't say we ain't got none. He said we got a little. So what's that mean? It means we take our little and we use it. And when we use it, we multiply. Amen? And he gives the increase. Now notice this. You go on here. He says, I know that you have but a little power. Notice what he says. Yet you have kept my word and guarded my message and have not renounced or denied my name. We don't fit in everywhere. I'm talking about as your pastors, your new leadership. We don't fit in with a lot of churches. We don't fit in with a lot of, we don't look to run with the crowd. Not that I'm against them. But do you know what it's like? When you look and you feel like, and there's times that people come here and they look at you like you are a hole in the wall, doing nothing, but you love Him. And you do everything that you know that you feel like you can to protect that which He's given you. We've got churches in this very city that have come divided because their leadership has embraced LGBTQ+. And they have split and started another church at another place. And I'm not, that's as far as I'm going into that. Because what they do, I don't want to get involved in. You understand what I'm telling you? But that is, you have denied His name. You have denied His message. Because from beginning to the end, for man to be with a man intimately and a woman to be with a woman intimately, from the beginning of this book all the way through to the very end, is an abomination to the Lord. And for leadership of the body of Christ, the church, to embrace that is in a falling away. It is an apostasy. And you have denied His name. You have denied His message. And we have not been perfect, and we're still not, but we have done our best not to deny His name. To keep His things holy, separated. To where we don't walk in this house and it's like we're at the beach or a picnic. That we can't even hear the word of the Lord because somebody beside us is crunching. Help us, Jesus. See, it's not just about, because there's something wrong in my heart, Johnny. If I can come to the house of the Lord, and it's not this building, if I can come to the house of the Lord and assemble in His name and want Him to show up and act like in here is just nothing, there's something wrong in my heart. But if I'll fix that problem, He'll show up. And that's just a very small thing that should have not even been to begin with. But I tell you, I had forgot. But your pastor was serious when he said he's probably more lax now than he has ever been. When Travis started dating Beth, the first time she come to service, we had on them double doors back there. No food, drink, or cell phones in this sanctuary. Why? This is not a place for my flesh. This is a place for my flesh to be put on the altar. And for my spirit to cry out to the Lord in repentance over any and all wrong. The Bible says, depart from the very appearance of evil. If I can sit in this house and think bad thoughts about my brother and sister in the Lord, there's something wrong with me. I didn't say a thought came to you. I said consistently think bad thoughts towards you, saying there's something wrong in my heart. If I can sit and listen to somebody talk bad about you, Johnny, and not say something or get out of there, there's something wrong in my heart. See, it's not all these things that we think a lot of times, the smoking and the drinking and the... It's the things in my heart that nobody sees but God that I have to repent of. Get rid of that. Why? Because, see, we sang the song, I want more of you, Lord, I want more of you. But the thing about it is, where are we going to put Him? John the Baptist says, I must decrease that He may increase. I, Sandy, must empty myself out of my own free will if I want more of Him. Give up attitude. Wrong attitudes. I can't have those if I'm going to get more of Him. Right? But He says that we have not denied His name. Thank you, Lord. He can and don't say that about everybody in every church. If my church, Sandy, is for abortion, I'm getting out of there. If God will allow me at all, I'm getting out of there. Because God, He says, thou shalt not kill. And He's not talking about that other stuff. It says when you look at murder, you cannot get any more innocent than an unborn baby that has never done a wrong thing. And for you to take that life and say it's okay and I am a Christian, there's something wrong with you. You are not living the gospel. If you don't want that baby, and listen, I understand things happen. People make mistakes, things happen, things have been done to them. Don't keep it, give it. There's plenty of people out here that would take that baby. You don't have to do that. But when you have Christians that they name the name of Christ and they are for that, you're not right with Him. I'm not judging. I'm just telling you. According to this, it's not my word, it's His word. If I can have malice in my heart, the Bible says if I hate my brother, right? I am a murderer. And that's something not done outwardly. He says, if I hate my brother in my heart, then I am a murderer. He says, if I look upon a man, or if you're a man, you look upon a woman with lust in your heart. Right? It's not just outward things. It's these inward things that God knows about that we need to get rid of, that we need to repent of, so He can come in here and we can have what He's wanting to give us and what we say we've been praying for. But there's going to have to come not just a revival, but what's called a reformation in the body of Christ. To where people are saved for real, Sandy, and they know how to live for Him. Because nowadays, I don't find a lot of them, they know how to live for Him. They just want Him to fix their problems. I'll show up for church when I feel like it, or somebody will call me and remind me. That's ridiculous. I'm not calling you and reminding you of nothing. If you ain't got enough of Him in your heart to come to His house or to pray or to... I can't make you. I can call you day and night and it ain't going to change your heart. I'm not saying we don't help people. Because there was a time in my life as a baby Christian, I read my Bible and I went to church every time the door was open. And half the time I felt like I was on the verge of backsliding. And I thought, if I can just get to Brother Brad and let him pray for me, everything will be okay. So I understand helping baby Christians. But did you hear what I said? I prayed. I read my Bible. I went to church every day. I'm wanting Him. But for some reason, I believed lies and felt like I couldn't make it. It wasn't because I wasn't after Him. I can't make you be after Him. Only you can do that. Only I can do that. But He says, we have not denied His name, and we've not been very popular because of it. Because we don't do a lot of programs they do, and I don't care what they do. We do hear what we believe the Word of God teaches, and we are led to do. And if we are not led to do it in the Word of God, we're not going to do it. I don't care how quick it would fill this church up. I'm not into filling this church up with nothing but the presence of the Lord. So He says, we have not denied His name. We have guarded His message and not renounced or denied His name. He says, take note. I will make those of the synagogue of Satan. I'm telling you, you talk to people out here and everybody says they saved. And they ain't a lick of fruit from their life of repentance. So that tells me you ain't saved. But He says, I will make those that are out of the household of Satan. They say they're Jews, in other words. They say they saved, Johnny. He said, I'm going to make them come and bow down at your feet and know that I have loved you. Why? Because they're going to see the real in us. We're going to preach the real gospel, not this side chick Jesus that a lot of places are preaching. Because I'm not concerned about them getting saved and coming and filling this house up. I'm concerned, Sandy, with us doing what we're called to do and their life being changed, whether they go here or they don't. But they don't get Jesus as their side chick and stay at home. There's something that burns on the inside of their spirit. I want the church. I love what He loves. And I hate what He hates. He loves the church so much He died for her to be created. That is what our marriage is supposed to display, is it not? Christ and the church, He loves her, she loves Him. They are one. I'm going to you, praise the Lord. I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you, I can't help it. It makes me think of Jeremiah when he said, your word in me, O Lord, is like fire shut up in my bones. When you love him, Sandy, you know, you can't help yourself. He's all you want to talk about. Yet don't nobody have to tell you to pray. You want to talk to him. It ain't, oh God, I've made it 15 minutes. Oh no, 2 hours has went by and you're like, God, Lord, I got to cut this off. I got to get to so-and-so. I got to get to work. That's the true when he's alive in your heart and you have a relationship with him. Religion is all this outward stuff. Well, that's not what he wants. Too many times that's what people have saw and it's not attractive to anybody. He never said, come, get born again and have a religion. He said, come, get born and follow me. My yoke is easy and my burden's light. I got a good plan for your life, but it'll only come to pass as you follow me. Not as you wear your bumper sticker. He says, take note, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews. They say they're saved, but they're not, and we know it. The Bible says we'll know them by the fruit that they bear. You'll know me by the fruit that I bear. Not that you might not see a worm in one of my apples on my tree, but my whole tree won't be rotten. You'll see fruit in my life that I love him and I go after him. He says, but they lie. He says, behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet and learn and acknowledge that I have loved you. Because, this is the reason, you have guarded and kept my word of patient endurance. Have held fast the lesson of my patience with the expected endurance that I give you. I also will keep you safe from the hour of trial testing which is coming on the whole earth. He says, hold fast what you got, right? Hold on to it. A lot of people's turning it loose now these days. Hold on to him. Because he's just about to wrap this up. That's why he's got to put this last day revival and reformation out there. What's a reformation do? It brings you back to true doctrine. So let me tell you something. If you say you've been saved for 15, 20 years and you got five different baby daddy and you ain't never been, you ain't saved! You better hear what I'm telling. This is the culture we have now in the church. That you got five different baby daddies, been saved 15 years, say you love and serve the Lord, and ain't none of them your husband. Ain't that what Jesus told the woman? You done had five husbands. He did not, the woman that was caught in the act of adultery, so the Pharisees say, took her to Jesus. Y'all remember that story, right? Well, he's knelt down there because they want him to stone her, do something. The law says stone her, all this stuff, and we're not under the law. But we are not out from under his grace. And grace teaches us, the Bible says, to deny all ungodliness. They accusing her and all that. He's writing on the ground. He gets up and he tells her, you that is without sin, cast the first stone. We know. The Holy Ghost began to prick their hearts. Show them you did this, that, whatever it is he begins to do. They all leave. Then he turns to her and he says, where's your accuser? She says, there's not anybody. He says, okay, go your way. I don't condemn you either. He did not stop there. He said, go your way and sin no more. See, that's the difference, Sandy. You may be in sin, but when you come to him, you want out of sin and you do everything to not sin anymore. Because now when you sin, it bothers you. Because you got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you saying, this is not the way. And because you love him and you have been made in his image and bearing his likeness, you know that ain't right and you don't want it. But in the church, now that's okay. Not in this one. And that's why some people don't come here. And I ain't naming no names. But see, I'm not going to change. We're not going to change this to get them. Because this is the only thing that will truly get them in their hearts. The preaching of the true gospel is salvation to the soul. Right? So he says, go, hold on. Hold what you got. Keep it. In other words, don't give it up. Don't give it up because they make fun of you. Don't give it up because they say you're extremist or you're radical. Jesus was radical. The Bible says he was the chief cornerstone that what? They rejected. We will be rejected, Sandy. We will be persecuted. Do you understand what God's doing right now is judging Iran with his enemy, with their enemies, but at the same time opening up for the gospel? They say in Iran it is right now one of the fastest growing underground. And we got people out here won't even walk across the doggone road to get to church. And you got people over there, they are dying to assemble together. And God is opening that place up where they can be free to serve Him, just like He did with Pharaoh. And over here in this country, where we are free, a lot of us, we sit at home. Well, I watch on Facebook. He didn't call us to Facebook. He called us to an assembly, did He not? Then I need to get that right in my heart. Like you, love you, don't make no... I got to come because I am one with you, Sandy. Whether I like your personality or I don't, I do. I'm just saying. Point being, when you get born again into the body, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, God puts each one of us in the body as it pleases Him. You have a place somewhere. I have a place somewhere. And it ain't here and there and everywhere. Somewhere I'm supposed to belong. Now, if I'm out there on the mission field, that's good. Glory to God. But when I come home, there's a place in the body I'm supposed to be serving and being served. Right? Good grief, I got like 3 minutes. I ain't got off my first scripture. Ah, that's a good thing, though. He says, so hold on to it. Don't let nobody rob you of it. Be victorious. And notice what he says last verse. He says, he who can hear. Let him listen to and heed what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So we have an open door, and we're going to preach this true gospel. Right? The true gospel. I was reminded this morning of Scotty when we got saved. Now, y'all have all heard the story, but I have to tell it again. Some listening by way of internet or maybe even in here hasn't heard it. Scotty was a very big racist. Now, why, I don't know. The man ain't even what you say white. I mean, his grandmother came from the Indian reservation. I think his papa was Irish, you know. And so, in other words, he's not just, I don't even know what you would call just plain white anymore. But anyway, he doesn't like anybody if your skin is darker than the tone of his skin. Just, he can't stand you. He hates your guts. You've never done nothing to him. He don't even know your name. He can't stand you because of the way you look and how he thinks he perceives you to be. He is a true racist. He gets born again. We're still going to the laundromat. We've not been redeemed yet from that. And while we're at the laundromat, we pull up and there's these two Mexican-Hispanic guys sitting in their car, the hood up, you know, and they got them a case of beer and a flow board and all this stuff, you know. And we pull up there and I know, don't look. I don't. You don't look, Johnny. You just get your thing of clothes and you walk like this. And I'm not kidding. I'm serious. Because if I ever look over there, he will bust everything up there. He will cuss and just outright embarrass me till I can't take it. I mean, he goes into a full-blown rage. This is not just, it's a demonic spirit that fuels this. So I know, I get my clothes and I get right on in the laundromat. Well, they stop him out there. And they live down there, we're in Onion, and they live down there at that, I don't know if it's still called that, what, Bowley's Trailer Park, I think was what it was called, maybe it still is, I don't know. Trailer Park on down from the laundromat there in Onion. And they tell him, our car's tore up, can he take them home? And I think, I'm inside the laundromat. I can hear this, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness. Listen, he got bumper jack and went in Piggly Wiggly and run them out. So, I mean, I'm serious. I'm thinking, you are talking to him. This is not going to be good. And Johnny, lo and behold, just blows my mind. He tells him, yeah, he'll take him home. And then they have the audacity to say, oh, we got a case of beer here. Can we take our beer with us? And I thought, oh, my God. He says, yeah. So they get the two Mexicans or Hispanics, whatever they are, they get their case of beer and they get in their car and he leaves. I don't know if he's going to take them and kill them or what he's going to do. I don't know. But we're saved for real, Sandy. And this scripture, part of the scripture starts coming to me. I have never heard the voice of God in my life. I mean, maybe we've been saved 2 or 3 months. I mean, if that long. I don't even know God talks to you, and I sure don't know how He does. I start hearing this inside of me. Works worthy of repentance. I mean, just over and over and over. I start rebuking the devil. Because I don't know God talks to you, but I know the devil does. I start saying, Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Works worthy of repentance. I mean, just over, over, over. And it's just nonstop, that same thing. Hear it over, 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 over. And then finally he comes back, and I tell him, I said, I don't know what this means, but I keep hearing this. I've rebuked the devil. Works worthy of repentance. When I told him, the voice stopped. We don't know what in the world that means, Samantha. But lo and behold, we come across a scripture. And I got to read this. Beth, would you put it up for us, please? I think it's the Matthew 3. But I'm not going to read that whole 1 through 8. Let me find it right quick so I can read the one that I want. Because I've got to read this. It goes along with this here. Matthew chapter 3. Verse 7. Now, John was baptizing, and the Pharisees and all them's coming out there, and he tells them, who you brood of vipers told you to escape the wrath of God that is coming. Listen, the wrath of God is going to come upon the lost too if they don't get born again. It's not just they're going to hell. It says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet of repentance. The Amplified Bible says, bring forth fruit that is consistent with repentance. Let your lives prove your change of heart. If you don't see this, I'm not talking about everything's perfect, but if you don't see this, there has not been a true repentance in the heart. I told him that voice stopped. We came across this scripture later on, and we began to realize, because in his heart, he preached his first sermon, and guess who got saved? Mexican. Ain't that like God? That's what he does. You give him your life, and he'll turn that thing around to where you are not the same person you have never been before. But if you're not changed, you really didn't repent. And I've got to stop because it's like 10 till and I'll be getting in trouble. Scotty gets an hour, but I get 45 minutes. I hate to just cut it off here, but we have to. Does anybody have any comments or questions or anything they'd like?